Hello, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. Happy January 19th, 2022. And welcome to today's show here on Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here with us. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the home website of the consortium, our Consortium for Equity in Education. Our magazine, Equity and Access, is over there. All our podcasts are over there. And there's a link to another place where this is going to be archived, and that's over at our new website, seltoday.org, seltoday.org, all about social emotional learning. So please go over to ace-ed.org and seltoday.org. Read our magazine, Equity and Access. We have an SEL Today Digest over at SEL Today, and you'll see all the wonderful things that we're doing for all of you guys. I'm going to try to make this year a little easier for you with a lot of information on equity and social emotional learning, etc. We have a show for you today with our old friend, returning guest, Chris Seeley is here. Chris is the Program Director for School and Justice Initiatives with the American Psychiatric Association Foundation. Now, he's a clinically trained social worker. He's a mental health advocate. And we all know the dire situation in schools these days. Teachers and students and staff are pressured, okay? And when you have pressure, you have can have serious problems. And so the APA Foundation has an answer for all this. They have a school grant opportunity, which is called Notice Talk Act. And to tell us all about it, here is the one and only Chris Seeley. Hi, Chris. Larry here.
Hey, Larry. How you doing? Happy New Year. Nice to be talking to you to start off my year.
Thank you, buddy. It's a pleasure to have you here, as always. You do such good work. Tell us about the APA Foundation. Do that.
Yes, definitely. The APA Foundation is the philanthropic arm of our kind of sister organization, the American Psychiatric Association. We
yep.
really believe in a mentally healthy nation for all, where you live, learn,
yep.
work, and worship. And, you know, the last time we were here, Raul Andrews Jr., our new executive director,
yep.
Teased that play was going to be coming in, and that will definitely be happening this year in 2022, really focusing both on media and sports and how mental health is kind of both portrayed and can impact individuals in that area as well. So continue to expand, you know, the good work that we're doing, you know, across our community. So though my main focus is school and justice, we also have a Center for Workplace Mental Health, which, you know, you already mentioned, school staff, you know, people listening
yeah.
here, if you have students, you know, you're in a workplace, and, you know, a lot of people are reorganizing how they think about work and their passion areas and what they are willing to kind of sacrifice outside of their own personal life and their family lives for work.
Yep.
And I think those are all really important conversations, and I definitely encourage our listeners to check out the Center for Workplace Mental Health as well. On top of, you know, we have library and archives. We do some work within the faith communities, and actually we just got some grant funding, and excitingly, to expand some of our work within the faith communities as well. So, you know, though I'm here to talk about schools and how important it is for mental health in schools, you can't have health without mental health. And, you know, it's so important to think about all of our different connections across the community.
Yeah, you know, I just want to say that comment you just made, you can't have health without mental health. And that is so true. But it's always been physical health that has really mattered to people. Of course, that's obviously very extremely important, but it tends to push aside mental health. Yet it's all part and parcel of the same thing. All right, and we have to recognize that, yeah, and understand it, et cetera, and go for it from there. I wanted to ask you something. I know you're doing. I was over at the website, by the way, everybody. It's APAFDN.org, APAFDN.org. You can even see Chris's picture there if you want to. But you do your podcasts over there, and I couldn't find the podcasts. Where are they? Are they up on site?
They are. We're working on updating the website actually right now to make it a little bit easier to find. But if you type in mentallyhealthynation.org, that will bring you right to kind of the podcast website.
Thank you.
Or if you just type in Mentally Healthy Nation in Spotify, iTunes, Google, you know, anywhere that you're currently listening to your podcast, you'll be able to find our podcast that we launched back in October. And there's at least two episodes on right now that are related to schools. You know, how do we go back mentally healthy during a pandemic, which we still unfortunately find ourselves in, and it sounds like, you know, who knows when the end will be in sight. And then we did one back in November around school staff mental health, which, you know, is super important. And actually this month, you said I was a clinically trained social worker, so if I can speak directly to the school social workers here, you know, they are frontline healthcare workers, you know, honestly, teachers, and anyone who is out on the front lines working during the pandemic. We just released a podcast on mental health and burnout. It is for frontline healthcare workers, so more towards doctors, psychiatrists, nurses. But, you know, I think school social workers, anybody who has been, you know, grocery store clerks, anybody who's been working on the front lines during this pandemic and kind of exposing themselves to this risk, I think it's really important for you to take a listen to that podcast. And that's our most recent one. So,
thanks, Chris. That's good. And again, it's mentallyhealthynation.org, right? That'll get you there?
Yes. Yes, correct.
Okay. And also, since you were on the subject, the New York Times today is January 19th, 2022, there's a very heart-wrenching video article about the struggles that frontline nurses are going through right now. Okay, and it's really tough, and it gives you the story there. So, and what they're going through, both physically with their jobs and then mentally, the stress of it. It's really just something off the education angle, but it's a lot of ways the same story. All right, and
it's
just
community.
Go ahead.
And there are community members, you know, and just like we talk about, you know, though we focus mostly on students, and now I think we're starting to evolve the conversation as a whole around school community mental health. And, when you think about
absolutely.
The school community, there's parents, there's nurses, there's everybody who is connected to that school community. If you, you know, even if you don't have kids, you might have a cousin or a niece or a nephew who's going to school. So you're still a part of that school community, even if you're not directly connected to it.
Right. And just by living in a given school district, you're part of a school community, everybody. So be aware of what's going on out there. I just wanted to say that, and Chris puts it into a nice perspective for all of us. I want to talk about this school grant opportunity, Chris, that you guys offer at Notice Talk Act. Okay, talk about what is that, Notice Talk Act at school. Go for it, Chris.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. Notice Talk Act school is a mental health professional development for all staff in K through 12 education. And when I say all staff, it is paraprofessionals, you know, coaches, custodial workers, food work, anyone, again, who is a part of and working in that school building from, you know, 7 a.m. to whenever they might leave that day. It's really made for them, along with colleges. And it really operates on the foundation's key framework, Notice, Talk, and Act. You know, trying to notice early warning signs, talk to students when we notice something and showing care and concern, and then acting to connect that student to appropriate support services. And that key framework is really something that we're trying to take across the entire community, not just the school community, and really continue to have that shared language. And we really do this by starting all learners online with an e-learning module that's designed to be completed within 30 to 40 minutes. And this really sets everyone up for the same kind of baseline. They're at the same kind of point of knowledge and prepares them for the classroom portion that was designed to fit into most schools' 90-minute professional development days that they have, you know, once a month. And then doing some follow-up assessments to ensure that each school who kind of gets trained in Notice, Talk, Act at school is really utilizing that key framework of Notice, Talk, and Act to its full potential, and that's through custom coursework. We provide additional resources. You know, we get feedback from schools and continue to support them through some technical assistance. And that's kind of the overall curriculum that we offer for schools. And through the grant, what we're really offering is our direct delivery option for our grant schools. And this really means that they get a dedicated or certified instructor providing direct assistance from start to finish. You know, I just mentioned technical assistance, and though all schools might get that kind of through our even our train-the-trainer model through new resources that we might put out there or some of the custom courses, this is really working one-on-one and providing that direct technical assistance to the school. You know, we had two grant school winners last year, Larry, one in Mount Pleasant, Texas, and one in Carlington, Pennsylvania. And they both, you know, we honestly just touched base with them last week. They kind of delivered in October and November timeframe. So we're just doing a nice little check-in with them. And, you know, honestly, you know, it's great to hear all of the wonderful things that are happening with this school. But to really hear how the framework has really influenced the staff across the whole and how they model it to the students, that's really great. But what we also provide is where isn't it working? You know, how do we continue to make sure that that Notice, Talk, Act framework is getting the students that need support services connected to those support services? So that's really, you know, when we look at the grant, we're really offering our direct delivery, that technical assistance, and really a full year of engagement with our either a dedicated staff member, myself, or my program manager, Joy, or a certified instructor, which would be an APA member.
That's cool. Explain to me, Chris, what we say, well, you're going to be working with them, et cetera. Try to get into a little more detail on that. What actually happens? Okay. They are working with you. All right. They're working with you. Let's just use you, Chris, since you're on the phone. Joy's wonderful, too. Okay. What actually happens? What do you do? What are you looking for? All right, just talk about the real down in the weeds details of this as you work with the school.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, the assessment questions that we look at really focus on two different things. One are situations in which Notice, Talk, Act will work. So, you know, do you feel comfortable engaging in a student who is being disruptive? Do you feel comfortable engaging with a student who has come to school and hasn't been taking care of themselves? You know, they're unkept. They don't smell good. You know, their hygiene is lacking. How comfortable do you feel engaging with students who are harming themselves or others? You know, how comfortable do you feel talking to your support services team at your school? How comfortable do you feel talking to a parent about what you've noticed in the student? You know, we really gauge the comfort level, honestly, in a pre and a post assessment, just kind of gauging what has been learned in in just the curriculum. But then we do that again at the kind of the 6 month check-in to just continue to look at where's their comfort level. Do we need to continue to look at new resources? For example, what we continued to see in all of our schools was that there were some really situations that staff members would find themselves in, like a student who is unkept, or especially with this pandemic, you know, the loss of a family member. You know, when you get this conversation in front of you, how do you handle it? So we developed a brand new resource that is available to schools once they've gone through the training. That's a further in-depth training resource around ORS, which is open-ended questions, affirmations, reflections, and summary. And it's kind of our interaction technique that we use in the talk, you know, in the framework of talk, to gather more information, to show care and concern, to check in, to make sure that you're understanding what's going on, and then really to wrap up the conversation and get the student connected to support services. So, you know, we kind of saw that as a thing that's happening across all schools. So we'll create a resource across all of the schools to have. But then if a school is kind of struggling with a particular topic, we'll dive in a little bit deeper and say, hey, what happens in these situations? Can we make a new role play? Can we do a brief 15-minute recorded presentation for the staff members to view and then maybe chat with a partner on? You know, it really depends on that, depending on the situation. And then what we're also looking at with those assessments, especially at the 6 months, is are they actually engaging in Notice, Talk, and Act? You know, are they doing the full framework? Are they noticing, talking, and acting? It's really interesting during the pandemic, in some of those assessments and what we're able to look in with the school is that because, when some schools went full virtual, distance learning,
yep.
they didn't necessarily have the availability to notice or talk. So there was a whole lot of acting that was happening because they would notice things, but they wouldn't, the talk wasn't happening because
yeah.
they were in a screen situation, right?
Yeah, virtual environment,
to,
right.
Right, a virtual yeah. environment where you didn't necessarily yeah. have the ability to, they didn't know the skills to pull a student off to the side like you would in a classroom or wait till the end of the classroom period and walk over to their desk. You can't do that in the same way that you would in a classroom that you would virtually. So we helped schools to understand how to use that framework in the virtual setting. So that's just a little overview of different ways that we work with schools. And then
and you brought up something. Wait, I got to ask you this, and this was interesting
yeah.
to me. You brought up, you kept saying, where is there, how comfortable are you with this situation? How comfortable are you with that situation? And I'm curious, as you've gone through this with several schools now, okay, with all those situations that you said, how comfortable, just anecdotally on average, are educators dealing with these things? Because they are completely, not completely, but 98% untrained in dealing with this. They're not psychologists. They're not mm-hmm. psychiatrists. Okay? They're not social workers. They're teachers. Okay? And they're used to someone else, okay, handling these situations. So I'm curious, when you said that, how comfortable are you with, what are you hearing back? How comfortable in general are they with these situations?
Yeah, and I think it's a really it's a great question, Larry. And I think one thing before I answer that is to be clear, we don't want the staff members in the school to handle, if a student is, harming themselves. Like, we want to get them connected to the people who are trained to do that.
Right.
We just want them to feel comfortable engaging in the conversations. We don't want them to have the answers or feel like they need to be all end all to this student. Like, we want to get them to the right support services. And I think that's where even the assessment, right? When you ask the question of how comfortable are they? And when we look at the pre-assessment, from an anecdotal standpoint, it's a mixed
yeah,
bag. I think, some people are super comfortable already. You have those caring people that are willing to engage in any conversation, right? Nothing is taboo to them. They are ready to engage in any conversation at any point in time. And I think you see that in school communities, but then you also see in school communities where they're not comfortable at all across the board,
yep.
right? We kind of have a Likert scale of 1 to 5. A lot of people are ones across the board. Other people are 3 to 4 across the board. So you do have a mix between that. What we do see, I think, across the board in schools is that in every single category that we look at in the post-assessment is that there is a significant increase in comfort level after they go through the
Good.
Training. And I think part yeah. of that is, to the point that I made earlier, is that we really, really try our best throughout both the e-learning and the classroom module, and then also the follow-up kind of technical assistance, is really to emphasize the role of the staff members in the school is to not provide treatment or not provide the
exactly.
exact resources that the student might need. It's the connection. Their role is to notice, talk, and act. It is not to be the professional, social worker or to be the mental health expert in the school. It's to get the student connected to them. And I think, honestly, what we've heard but what we've seen in the assessment data and then what we've heard in talking to some of these schools is that it's really a weight lifted off their shoulders, right? You don't have to worry about what are the next steps for this student. The next steps for me is to, I've noticed this, my next stop is talk, and then my next stop is act if I think that the student needs to get connected to support services. And if they don't need to get connected to support services, guess what? I'm building a relationship with this student, and that's really,
yeah.
really important in
yeah.
school communities, right? Like, it's a win-win in every situation. You're either building a relationship or you're getting a student connected to support services and ever ask of you. And that's what we really like. And I think I've mentioned this before on podcasts with you, Larry, and I say this every single time in a training that I do,
yeah.
is that it's really, it's on the student, just like it is on any community member, to actually engage in support services, no matter what they are. And it's really, like, as a social worker, I can only walk people to the doors, right? They have to cross that threshold. I can only provide options for them. And that's all we're asking staff members to do in school. And you might have to do that, unfortunately, 15,000 times. And the one time that student actually crosses the threshold, engages in support services, comes out the other end, you know, the complete full potential of that student that you saw in them, you might not get to see that because it happens much later, right? But you've done your job. You've encouraged them.
You got
them.
The ball
you've given
rolling,
them,
if I may.
You know, exactly.
Make it mundane.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, and Chris, let me ask you this, and this is a challenge out there right now, with especially with Omicron, the pandemic variant, COVID variant. All right, I couldn't think of that word. Okay, but school staffs are stretched right now, and I have heard, you know, that support services, I don't know if you heard this, so I'll just go over with you, okay, are really stretched because, let's say, a school counselor has to now teach 3 math classes, okay, because the math teachers are all out sick. I mean, this is just across the board. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. All right. What have you heard, if you have at all, about how stretched the support services are in this day and age, okay, as regards to what you guys do? I'm just curious.
It is extremely stressed. Stressed, stretched, thin. You know, I think it's a challenge as well. And one thing I want to preference before I dive into this is that, you know, from an administrative standpoint, you know, if you're a principal, if you're a superintendent of a school district, you really need to think of your school staff community as a full community. And, right, you know, I'm saying it that way because, you know, a lot of times, especially in schools, the school social worker, the counselor, right now especially, isn't only relied on to provide those support services that we're talking about for the students, but now they're being asked to do it for staff as well. And I think
that
can be a very dangerous position to put staff members in because they have the same shared experience. They are working in the same building. That school social worker, that school counselor, they also need the same support services. So when you're thinking about what we talk about and what we talked about in our podcast episodes and what we're talking about with some schools is getting outside individuals to provide those services, right? If you want to do a mindfulness hour for your staff as one of the professional development days, don't ask your school social worker to provide that mindfulness training or whatever, because they also need that mindfulness time as well.
Yeah.
They also need that break, right? And I know budgets are strained. I know there's cost to all of that. But let's get creative, right? I said this at the beginning of our conversation, and it's going to hit really well here, is that if you live in a school district, you're a part of that school community. If you're not a school social worker, if you're a mental health professional just listening to this podcast here and wondering what you can do to support schools, it might be providing that training or that support for professional development or saying, hey, let me offer some pro bono skills or, pro bono services or, I was working with my former high school, you know, as one of the pilot schools.
Yes,
and,
They
experienced some loss. But right before the school year started, unfortunately, and, you know, a big conversation, it was like, bring in a grief counselor. And they're like, we're already doing it. I was like, you're doing what you should be doing, right? You're bringing in someone outside because all of the staff, including the support services, need that. And the students need that. And, you know, it's not about the skills that they need to have right now. It's about supporting the staff. It's about supporting the students, right? And I think that's really, really important right now. And I think also, Larry, just on the topic of like the strain of support services and, you know, I think across the board, right, we're working with schools and there's administration people who are teaching multiple classrooms.
Absolutely.
And, trying to make all of that happen on top of all of this, like you said, Omicron and, you know, the spread of the disease on top of rise in violence in schools and a lot of different things that are happening, you know, across the school community because, you know, we've lacked our ability to connect with people socially over the last year and a half, almost 2 years now. And I think what we really need to focus on is what does the school community need as a whole, right? What does that school community need? And I think that's part of the conversation that administration needs to have both, you know, from a student perspective, but from a staff perspective, and then from a school community perspective, right? Because, you know, you don't know what you have access to unless you ask the right questions. And, you know, from an administrative standpoint, you might not know that there's a mental health professional in your school community that can provide those services for free unless maybe you do some outreach and start to bring in those right people to the table. So I want to encourage more community partnerships, especially in school, with, you know, if you don't have a community mental health provider, there has been incredible expansions in telehealth and telepsychiatry. And, you know, the APA will continue to push for that along with other mental health providers because it's such a huge shift in access to care if you do have access to internet. And I think that's another, you know, we could talk about equity and equity and access and increasing broadband access across the entire country so everyone could have access to that. But even thinking about all of these new technologies that have evolved and grown because of the pandemic, what can you bring into your school community that will really make an impact for your staff? Because that trickles down. You know, even what we, you know, one of our grant schools, Carlington, Pennsylvania, like, honestly, we're going to be doing a podcast episode on something that they've done across their school community, which is a chill room for students, and now they're kind of expanding it to staff.
Good.
And I'm going to be learning more about it, but it's a space where students can go and de-stress.
Yes.
So, I, you know, there's so much great stuff going on.
Yeah, there really is. I got to tell you. And one other thing, Chris, I just want to ask you, for the grant or for what we're talking about, are you interested in school districts or schools, A? And B, is it? Would you say your work is geared to elementary, secondary, middle school, high school? Can you put that into a little perspective for everybody?
Yeah, definitely. So we're looking to work with an individual school in a district. So one school in a district, and that could be elementary, middle, high school, or an alternative school as well. So really across the board, one thing that we kind of have talked with our grant schools from last year, one in particular, Mount Pleasant, Texas, you know, we kind of said, like, what is the school that's most in need? You know, if you need it across your school district, we completely understand that. We can only support one school, but what's your most school in need? And then what we actually did for them in particular is we provided the grant delivery, you know, the direct delivery to that the high school that was in the most need. But then we invited all of the support services members from all the different schools in that district to join us for the training. And then did a train-the-trainer event, now they've signed an agreement to then take it across the entire district. So it's also, honestly, it's a really nice way for eligible schools, you know, and I don't know if I've mentioned this yet, but, you know, eligibility for it is 40% or more of your students receiving free or reduced lunch. You're eligible for the grant. That's the only eligibility marker on the application. And I want to stress this. If you go in and you do not select this on your application, you can't move forward. It's kind of one of the blockers or the barriers. You know, you have to show that 40%, and you also have to show proof of this. So make sure you have that documentation ready. We also asked for like a letter of support from administration. I just talked about how important buy-in is of administration across a couple of different things. It's really important for this. So we want to make sure that, you know, if you do receive the grant, that there's plans to actually deliver the training in the school. You know, there's stuff like that. And then there's also an agreement to share key data for us around some of our four key impact areas, which is discipline referrals, truancy, suicide attempts and deaths, and then referrals to support services. So there are some requirements that come along with the grant. You know, we are providing it at no cost to the school. So we are going to be asking for some data on the back end after the training is delivered outside of the assessment stuff that we're already going to be doing. But that's just, you know, that it's really about that.
Oh, they'll be happy to do that. Yeah, they'll be happy to do that. Yeah, it's really cool. I just want to direct people over there, if I may, Chris, before we say goodbye. Okay, on the APA Foundation website, apafdn.org, there's an icon that says Impact. Click on that, and that will take you to actually two places you'll be interested, several, but two in this case. Okay, there's if you click on that, it says Schools, so Notice Talk Act. And then what Chris mentioned before, Workplace, Center for Workplace Mental Health, you can click on whatever you need. Schools are a workplace. Let's not forget that. But we are talking about the grant for Notice Talk Act at school. Okay, so again, under impact, the icon on the APAFDN.org site. Okay, and this is Chris does great work.
I can make it a little bit easier for him too, Larry.
Do it. Go ahead.
If you type in NTA grant, so NTAGRANT .APAFDN.org, that will bring you
right
to the application website.
That's not easy.
That will bring
that's
you right to
those. Yeah, that's not easier. That's harder. Okay, that's harder. Okay, so we'll let people decide that. Okay, it's good stuff. Chris, you always do great work, and we'll do more together, obviously. Okay, and you just take care of yourself. All right, my friend?
Thank you so much, Larry. I really, really do appreciate these opportunities to connect on such crucial conversations, and I always am so elated to make sure that our conversations aren't just focused on the students in the building, but the full community as a whole, because like we talked about at the beginning, it's about a mentally healthy nation for all, where you live, learn, work, worship, and play. So,
thanks, buddy. It's great stuff. And again, the podcasts are mentallyhealthynation.org, right? Mentallyhealthynation.org? Chris?
Yeah, correct. And we also have some new parent resources coming out. We're translating some resources to Spanish. So be on the lookout, and Larry will definitely be sharing that with you as well once those are all ready.
Please do. You know we're here for you. Okay? My friend, thanks, Chris. Tell Joy I said hi and Roll as well, okay?
Well, we'll do, Larry. Happy New Year, and have a good rest of your January.
Thanks, buddy. You too. Bye-bye. Thanks, Chris.
Bye.
Okay, that's Chris Seeley, our good friend, everybody, Program Director for School of Justice Initiatives with the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, APAFDN.org. I still say click on Impact. That'll take you right to schools and workplace. You can go from there, and it's called Notice Talk Act. We will archive at ace-ed.org and also at seltoday.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.